You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Have you ever just been sitting around wondering, how could a 74-year-old animated film better provide a framework for all of us to think about our own psyches? Well, if that's you, you're in luck. Today we're going to be discussing exactly how one of the package era, wartime era Disney films can do that. We're talking about The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad, or two fabulous characters. I'm really excited for this one, guys. This is Systematic Geekology. We are the priest of the geeks. I always love when we get to continue our Disney series with more Disney films. I'm Joshua Knoll, and recently I've been geeking out on Kingdom Hearts soundtracks. They uploaded both of them for the 20th anniversary this year to Spotify. So it's like all of 1.5 and 2.5 remix are on there. For those who don't know, which I don't think I even recognized it till I like am sitting here only concentrating on the music and not the game. But a lot of it is like string quartets, brass numbers, flute, like very classical style music. And it has me feeling all of the things. So it's wonderful. I'm sitting at work wanting to cry, wanting to laugh, wanting to everything, because I have a lot attached to these songs that I didn't realize I had. Christian, what have you been geeking out on lately?
Well, you can't go wrong with Kingdom Hearts music. But as for me, and I'm sorry to say this because I know you still won't be able to have it yet, but I have been geeking out on Hogwarts Legacy. And it has been a wild and fun ride. I'm already level 23. It is excellent.
I need it to be on PS4 so badly. Hey, how's the music in that game?
Music's really good. I mean, Spellcraft's the wand uses so much fun. The story is really great. My only complaints so far are the broom controls, which are way too sensitive, and the lock picking minigame. I have found a cheat for that. For those of you who don't know, you can change your difficulty to story mode.
Wait.
Just automatically get the lock.
Make them go to Discord to find that information. It's too late now.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to give them something. I know other things they can go to the Discord for.
True. Jump on there. Ask him questions about the game, which I'll be doing in like 3 months or 2 months when it comes out for me on PS4. Ugh. And that being said, we're going to jump into some good old magical content talking about the wonderful world of Disney's animated studios. This is the last film we're going to be discussing in the wartime package film era. It's The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad, also the last of the wartime and package film era films. So this is the last one they did in that era of Disney films. If you're wondering what I'm talking about when I'm talking about eras of Disney, go back in the show notes. I'm going to have a link to the first episode that kicked off our Disney series that we're doing right here, talking about the different eras of Disney. And then you'll know what I'm talking about. Assuming you have stopped this episode and done that, I'm going to go forward. So we are doing two films in each era of Disney. We did Pinocchio and Snow White for the Golden Era, and we did Three Caballeros, and now we are doing Ichabod and Mr. Toad, and those two will make up the wartime or the package film era. They go by two different names for some reason. It is because during World War II, Disney was still making movies funded by the U.S. government, and most of these movies, in order to cut cost where they can actually do it, became package films. So in Three Caballeros, we talked about how it was basically just a bunch of random minis that they shoved together with no plot. And it was wonderful. This, you can tell that they're kind of getting out of the package film era with this movie, because you see two really fully developed stories that you're like, oh, wow, either of these could have been its own thing. It's just, it's something else. In fact, The Adventures of Mr. Toad was originally going to be its own full-length movie. They had a lot of it already put together before the war started, and then the war started. So they had a lot of this already done. They started developing this story for Ichabod, and they said, we can't make this long enough. Also, we're not really going to do voice actors, so we need something else. And they, hey, we have this other movie we almost finished. What if we just, put these together? And that's what we got.
What an interesting result at that.
Yeah, they are so not related. like even in the movie, the best that you got is like you see this little library with a voice talking to you that says two characters are really cool. Here are those characters. Like that's the whole connection. These characters are cool. The reason though, there is a reason why it is an English one and then an American one, because post-war we're wanting to maintain a relationship with the Allies. And again, government still has their hand in Disney at this point. So I don't have anything against the English. I thought it was cool. I don't know if you noticed this. This was fun. Both when both narrators, you know, the one is talking about all the great English characters that they could have chose before they chose Mr. Toad. Most of those have become Disney films already. So he talks about King Arthur. He talks about Robin Hood. I forget what the other ones are.
Well, that man, Basil Rathbone, was one of the original actors for Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. So the narrator for that first one. Yeah.
Yeah. He also mentions Davy Crockett.
Yep. No, wait. That was Bing Crosby, because he was talking about the American story.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Davy,
which, yeah. Yeah. So he Davy Crockett. What were some of the other ones that he mentioned that were... that ended up becoming Disney films. I forget. I remember that one. That
it's, let's see.
It was interesting that ended up being a thing though.
Yeah. Robin Hood, Sherlock Holmes, King Arthur, and Oliver Twist.
Okay. That was the
and
British
Oliver and
ones.
Company would be Oliver and Twist.
Yeah. What was the American ones on for the other guy?
The American ones, he mentions Paul Bunyan, Pecos Bill.
That's what it was. Paul Bunyan was another Disney. Yeah.
Johnny Appleseed, Black Bart, Davy Crockett, and Daniel Boone.
Yeah. Yeah. So... kind of some cool picks. It was cool that they ended up becoming their own movie, some of those later on. So just as a whole, as far as like how these two fit together, did you have anything else that you wanted to throw up? There really aren't any connections.
As far as connections go, this is on the thinnest of threads. So I think we've covered everything.
Yeah, I actually, because I was evaluating the stories for our kind of thing, because, you know, we like to ask the big questions the story's asking, I ended up seeing, and this is a hard thing for me, there seems to be kind of a theme of mental health, but I'm like, 1940s, they didn't know mental health was a thing. Well, yeah, I guess they had to have, they just had a different term for it, but
yeah,
it kind of seems like extent. Both of these stories touches on that in a weird way. So that's what we'll be going with. But you could tell that kind of they're getting back to that quality animation. And that's part of what was cool about, even though they definitely cut some corners with Sleepy Hollow, right? You just Bing Crosby does the entire thing.
Yes.
But I like that the way they cut corners wasn't let's skimp on the animation. This time they said, hey, let's skimp on the actors and really put everything into the animation and made some awesome animated sequences. So
I mean, the forest scene alone. And then the entire assault of the Headless Horseman.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Tremendously well animated.
Yeah, that was Wolfgang Reitherman did that entire scene. And that part of why he ended up getting to direct some of the other Disney films later on, I think in the Bronze Age when he was directing some. But you know what? Yeah, hats off. That was just that seems one of those that still gets talked about by animators. If you listen to like different podcasts that talk about animation, that's one that they still go to because it was just so good. So well done.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. So, Sleepy Hollow. We already started talking about it. Let's just go ahead and jump into that one because it's basically two mini movies together. So, we're just going to talk about them separately because why not? Do you want to summarize the story of Sleepy Hollow for everybody?
Yeah, sure. So, essentially, for Sleepy Hollow, a young dandy named Ichabod Crane moves into town to become a school teacher. Starts teaching the locals because he wants to civilize them a little more, but then he falls in love at first sight with Katrina, the belle of the ball, the most beautiful woman in the land, but she is also being pursued by Brom Bones, a more rugged Gaston kind of type of man.
He kind of looks like Gaston even.
Yeah, a little bit, right? Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And the two of them are head over heels forward trying to win her affections. And Brom Bones tells a story of the Headless Horseman at a party Katrina and her dad are hosting, which scares Ichabod. And as he's running away, as he's trying to leave that party, he is chased by the horseman and seemingly is either killed or he manages to escape. It's not really, we'll get to that in a moment.
There's a lot of ambiguity in this like mini film. Like it's weird for this being a kid's thing. There's a lot of ambiguity. The perceived bad guy, quote unquote, Brom, gets the girl. Like, this is a very weird Disney story.
Which is true to the text.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was really well done. I liked Bing Crosby's voice is just always a seller for me. Like, that is a selling point. So great job.
He's just got one of those voices. You just like, you hear it and like, well, tell me everything you're about to say.
Yeah.
I want to listen.
Yeah. And I do. I actually listen. I turned on Disney Plus and put my phone face down in the passenger seat and just listened to the Sleeping Hollow on the way home. It was great. One of the things I thought was really interesting, though, all three of these, like the main characters in this. So you have Ichabod, Brahm, and Katrina. None of them are like good guys or bad guys, right? I mean, Ichabod's incredibly arrogant to the point where you're like, you know what? Yeah, I hope he gets you. he really got on my nerves that he's like flirting with all the kids' moms for their cooking and stuff. And it's like, man, what?
And then he's Brahm, especially greedy, too.
Yeah. Brahm's only the antagonist because he's trying to, you know, win the girl, and he's doing some manipulation and like playing on Ichabod's superstitions. But like, I think my grandpa's a great guy, and I've heard stories of him in church when my grandmother was dating some other guy, literally sitting in the back throwing rocks at the guy's head. Like, I don't, you know, like, yeah, like, you do stuff. When you got a crush, you do stuff, man. Like, that's not really bad. Like, it's funny, and it's like, man, that was a, you might have went too far there. But it's not like that's a bad guy for doing that. And Katrina was manipulative, man. She was using these guys. Like, I'm like, I don't really sympathize with any of them.
Oh, yeah. You're not coming this for saintly characters. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that. I like characters that have flaws. That was cool. Yeah. Ichabod. What is his deal with like the superstitions? How did you read that? When was the last time you seen it? Let me ask that.
Well, I watched it earlier today.
Okay, cool.
Just to re-prep for this. I mean, it's just one of those things. You get people with their psyches. It's just they need to follow these sets of rules. They need to avoid certain things. I mean, I do some of that myself. Like, I'm not going to walk under an open ladder, you know, because that's a bad idea in general. Not because I believe that's in bad true. Luck, but because that's a stupid idea. I mean, I'll avoid the cracks on the sidewalk because I want to keep my mother's back in great health.
Yeah. I remember what's funny is I remember being scorned by other church folk for, you know, thinking about superstitions or believing any of that, or using the phrase good luck even was like a no, you're supposed to say blessings or something. Like, you know, listen, we know some of this, like, we know this isn't real. Chill about it. But on the other hand, I don't know, something about watching it this time and then thinking about the book made me wonder if they didn't have these terms, so they couldn't have meant exactly this, but if the idea of behind Ichabod's character had something like in some kind of anxiety or OCD that made him like he had to do certain, you know, like you have to do certain rules, have to do certain ways, certain things, because it kind of calms your anxiety.
I think it probably just brought normalcy, and definitely didn't have the terms we do now. As far as mental health has gone, scientifically speaking, which is one of the wonderful things about the modern age. But we were still aware of these things. We just didn't have names for them in the same way we do now. So I'm sure Irving, when he was writing this, might have been thinking of that. And Disney as well, when they were doing the movie.
Yeah, like they didn't think mental health, but they thought of different people they knew that had things.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know, it's not... It makes a lot of sense to me if the whole town has all this pressure on you. You think you're the greatest person ever. Everybody else thinks you're the greatest person ever. That would come with a certain level of anxiety. And you'd have to have a coping mechanism. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did you feel about the ambiguous ending there?
I, as a rule, despise ambiguity in general. Like, I like my magic That's systems funny. Explained as fully as possible. I like, you know, I want to see the monster no matter how bad it looks in a horror film. You know, at least then I can visualize it. I'm not a big believer in the nothing is scarier trope, which is like, as much as I love someone like Lovecraft, it gets annoying every now and then. It's like, he couldn't possibly explain how great it is and how horrible it looks. Like, as far as this ending is concerned, because I'm getting off track.
That's funny, though.
Right. I don't like this could have happened. I want concrete evidence. I mean, that's just how I'm wired. Give me, because like,
that's funny.
I'll tell you, like, Headless Horseman is real. Ichabod made it out alive and he started his own family elsewhere and Brahm and Katrina got married. That's my ending because I have concrete facts in my life.
That's funny. I like, and if the ambiguity helps you ask the question you're trying to ask, you know what I mean? Then I like it. If it's just there because you didn't have the guts to say what you meant, then it bothers me. And part of this feels like they just didn't want to say that he died. Like, yeah. I'm like, guys, just if you're going to do it, do it.
I mean, you got to think time period, too. This is late 40s, Disney cartoon. No one's going to be expecting. I mean, to them, that'd probably be a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
Especially if they show it.
See, my headcanon is that there was no horseman in the Disney version, mind you. The book is a different story. They're two different stories, really. Although the Disney one does a pretty good job. They are still two different stories. I think the horseman wasn't real. That it was all in Ichabod's head because he was having some kind of delusion, anxiety attack, whatever you want to say. I think he died somehow. And I just don't know. Either he died or the delusion got so intense that he had to leave the area. But I just don't think there was actually a horseman.
And you see, that's one of those things I despise, especially in modern horror that has been propping up. It's like, oh, it was all in their heads. It's just their psyches just manifesting. And like they were imagining all these terrible things. It's like, you know, that can work. But when you do it over and over again, especially in the horror genre as of late, I hate it.
Yeah, that's fair. I do tend to hate. One thing that I hated that they did for a while growing up, and I can't think of any specific examples, but like there would be some kind of like fantasy adventure that the kids would do, and then they'd come back and then it was all in their imaginations or something, and that would irritate me. Like, what?
Well, speaking of Disney, I've got a good one that did it well. It's going to be silly, but it's the Winnie and the Pooh when Christopher Robin goes off to school. They all think
that was a great movie.
Yes. So we see it's like the
skull.
Yeah, skull. They think, oh no, he's been kidnapped or like something horrible's happened to him. But you see, it's just them and they're panicking and worrying. They've made this awful situation out of something that was mundane. And like that's played well.
Man, I wish I remembered the name of that Winnie the Pooh movie. But that was the Winnie the Pooh movie for me growing up. I was like, that was it. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great stuff. Okay. So there was another story in this movie. My personal favorite of the two, which is not normally the case. Turns out most people just only know Sleeping Hollow and haven't even heard of The Adventures of Mr. Toad. So The Adventures of Ichabod comes from the Sleeping Hollow book. The Adventures of Mr. Toad comes from The Wind in the Willows. I read that book today. I downloaded the audiobook and listened to it at, I think it was 3.5 speed on Audible. And I was like, wow. I'm kind of aggravated that they didn't make this a full movie because they basically just took like part of it because Mr. Toad isn't in like half of the book. It's not about Mr. Toad.
Yeah, he's a side character. And it's more like, what is it, Rat and Mole?
Yeah, Rat and Mole are like the story. And I'm like, what?
I mean, it's the more exciting part of the book.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they focused on it more. Because it's more like one of those little chillish, like if Frodo or Bilbo had never left the Shire kind of books.
Yeah. Yeah. True. True. I really liked both the book and I've always loved the movie. Now I know that they're wildly different. The ride is even more different. I'll get to that later. But the ride basically ends with Mr. Toad in hell for some reason. I just don't understand. That's not in the book or the movie at all.
Yeah. That was an interesting decision. Oh, by the way, the movie was Pooh's Grand Adventure to Search for Christopher Robin.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, Adventures of Mr. Toad.
Yes.
Do you want to summarize this one, too? You do such a good job. I'm so long-winded.
Sure. I mean, I've definitely been guilty of that myself. Let's see. So for Mr. Toad, we get our good friends, Rat and Mole, who have also a very good friend, Mr. Toad, who is kind of a bit of a fop, kind of a dandy as well in certain respects. And he has inherited money, so he hasn't earned any of it. And it's one of those classic old tropes of, you know, a person who has been raised in wealth their entire life. The affluenza is real. And Mr. Toad doesn't think of consequences because he's been pampered his entire life. So he gets an idea and he does it, no matter how much money it costs him. To great anguish of Mr. Badger, Mr. Angus McBadger,
yeah,
I believe is his name, and causes turmoil wherever he goes. He gets a new idea. He goes out and does it. He buys a cart and a horse, causes devastation across the land. Then he finds himself a motor car, and that becomes his new obsession. And
motor mania.
Motor mania is a great way of putting it in the movie. Now, in the books, he actually steals it, if I'm remembering correctly. In the movies, yeah, they made it to where he signed off the deed to his house to a bunch of weasels. What was his name? Mr. Wimpy or something like that.
Yeah.
And they take over this manor. He is sent to prison for stealing the car, even though in a movie he did not. And he's eventually busted out of prison by his horse friend. What was his name? Oh, gosh.
Isn't it like Buttercup or something?
It's like Proud Bottom. Is it like Cecil something or something like that? I can't remember off the top of my head. And he busts him out of prison by making him dress up in women's clothing. And he finds Rat and Mole again.
Cyril Proud Bottom.
Thank you. Being the proud British gentleman he is, almost sends Toad back to prison because he has to serve his due time. But they join forces after figuring out the manor's been taken over, kick the weasels out. Toad is exonerated and ends with the movie with him with an airplane now.
Yeah, yeah. I like the airplane. That was a nice addition.
Yes.
In the book, Mr. Toad steals the car, goes to prison, breaks out. They end up helping him sneak into the house and just beating the weasels with sticks. Fantastic. Yeah.
Was it just me or did those weasels, are they the same ones that show up in Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Or are they just very similar?
I don't know. I wondered that.
Yeah.
They are incredibly similar though. Man, I liked this animation a lot. It looks like classic Disney. That's pretty much it. There's nothing that really stood out to me. I like the gags, you know, the old golden era of Disney. At some point, Disney was like, Walt was paying people $5 a gag. If the animators just came up with something and added it in there, he's like, oh, there you go. He just wanted the animator to just come up with random, just silly stuff like the ball and chain scene down the steps and great, great stuff. I think that's something that might be missing from modern Disney movies. I don't think they do gags like that anymore.
I mean, I did find a tie-in for both of these movies. They do have chase scenes in both of them. Both of them really well animated.
Yeah, perfect. That is exactly why they're pretty much the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
It's also why Fast and the Furious was definitely based off of The Adventures of Mr. Toad.
I mean, they should sue.
Yeah.
It's pretty much one-to-one.
Yeah, I don't see any difference. Oh, man. Yeah. Does anything stand out about the animation of this one to you?
They play a lot really well with movement, especially with the vehicles. The chase scene is also really well done, like we said before.
Yeah.
And just in our small character moments between our good friends here. I mean, it's very quiet, the scenes, but they're very fluid.
Yeah. Now, I didn't notice it in this, but going back to Sleepy Hollow for a second, one thing I really liked about the animation in that one is how they did the background. And you notice they have more and more fall stuff and more Halloween stuff as the story progresses.
Yes.
And they actually won a Golden Globe Award for the coloring of that. So,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well-deserved.
Yeah. They were beautiful colors. It very much feels like a Halloween movie, which is funny because the movie it's tied in with is not at all. It's like Christmas and New Year's. And it doesn't even feel like Christmas and New Year's. It just happens to be. One theory that I thought was really fun, and I think based off all the theories that I've read and like really watched it and like looking at the deleted scenes and stuff, I think both are kind of true here. So I think Walt and Ron are supposed to be Mr. Toad and the Badger. I think that was like the original idea, is that the animators were kind of picking on both of them because Walt was very much the kind of person who, okay, we made Disneyland, now Disney World, and now we're going to do this, and now we're going to do this, and then Epcot, and then we're going to own the world, and then we're going to make peace for everyone, and then, you know. That was Walt.
Yes.
Walt always had a new idea. He always had a new thing. That's not a bad thing. It's cool. For Mr. Toad, it was a bad thing. But that was funny. Badger in this, and this is why I kind of believe it, because in the book, he doesn't do the finances and all this stuff. Like he does try to figure out how he can help Mr. Toad, but he's not like that guy. So I think they took the Badger and kind of was like, what if we made him after Ron, where Ron's constantly trying to figure out the finances for Walt's newest weird whatever thing he wants to do. And one of the cut scenes is the Badger apparently gets drove into the insane asylum trying to cover for Mr. Toad. He just goes crazy.
I mean, there's a reason people use the term running the asylum.
Yeah. Oh,
and man. Sometimes you'll have a leader who does just that. And it's a bunch of crazy people around, and that person themselves is probably not much better. And Walt could be that way sometimes. And you need someone like Ron to rein him in. Be like, hold on there, buddy. Let's focus on this instead.
Yeah. Oh, and that's what's funny is like, which I guess is probably also true of Walt, but like Mr. Toad wasn't all good or all bad. Like, you kind of want to dislike him because he's being reckless. He's doing all this crazy stuff. But also, you know, they say in the movie and in the book, he's a stand-up guy. He's a nice fella. He's helping people. He just has this thing, motor mania, that he can't help.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, we've been saying Ron. Don't we mean to say Roy?
Yeah.
I was like, wait, that sounds so wrong.
Where's our fact checkers at? Oh, man. But, yeah, so the motor mania thing. That was what kind of ties into the other theory that I think might be a thing, is that they tweaked the movie a little bit to speak to some of the issues we were having post-World War II. Soldiers are coming back. They don't know what to do with their lives. They keep doing the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Some of them are getting into gambling and addiction to, you know, alcohol. And it was a really bad time for American families at that point in time. It's why they ended up legalizing, you know, no-fault divorce and stuff, because women needed to have the ability to get away from some of these men. And I thought that it was actually, I like this theory because I think it was really brave of Disney to kind of give a framework for children to understand. Sometimes people have motor mania. Sometimes people just, there's something that even though they might be a good guy, they can't help themselves but do some of these things that they shouldn't be doing. And rather than make him the bad guy, all of the surrounding characters are trying to figure out how to help him. Do we put him on house arrest? How do we exonerate him so he doesn't have to go back to prison? I mean, what do we do to help Mr. Toad rather than, oh, we hate him now because he's so reckless and ruined everything?
If this is true, I like it because it's backed up in the movie a little bit, especially the scene where Rat and Mole have Toad in his room, like locked up. They think he can't escape. And that's very much like a cold turkey situation. Yeah. If you read into it like that, and especially with American soldiers too, like more from what I've researched before on this topic, it was more Nazi Germany that gave their troops methamphetamine to, ooh, you know, keep fighting long beyond what would normally be capable for a human body to do. But American soldiers were doing it as well. I think some of the other allies looked into it as well,
yeah.
But it's something like you want to keep your soldiers up. You give them this drug. It keeps them pumped. It keeps them aware of their surroundings, a little more jittery than normal, but they can act more often than they would if they were just in their normal selves. And coming back from that, like that, you develop a dependency on that, and
oh, yeah,
you're going to seek it out elsewhere, or it'd be through opioids or alcohol or what have you. So if this is true, like this is a very subtle way of Disney doing that and like telling those children, like, you know, people are different sometimes when they're under these, you know, when they're under these neuroses. Is that the word? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry for my psychology and psychiatry fans out there. I'm really letting
you
down.
We really should have had a psychologist on this episode, but we didn't know that until we started evaluating the film. So sorry, guys. For the record, neither of us have any history at all.
In the medical field?
I don't know. Have you taken a single psychology class?
I took AP Psych in my junior year of high school.
That is the complete extent of our expertise on this. So don't take everything here with a grain of salt. That's to get the legal stuff out of the way so that I could keep saying whatever pops in my head about this. I've read some on it. It's just random books, but... I know one person I follow does a lot of podcasts is David French. He was part of the Dispatch for a while. He is a constitutional lawyer, fought in Afghanistan, all that. He recently switched over to New York Times, got hired over there, and he was writing an article about somebody else's article. I hate when people do that, but whatever. He did that, and it was about someone was writing that whole thing of men just want respect. If men have respect from their wives, then they'll be completely happy and everything's fine. And part of the example he uses is soldiers. Soldiers post-war have tons of respect. They're not fine. It's like lots of people respect them for being a soldier or having been in the army, and yet there's something missing. And what he pinpoints is not just men, humans need purpose. When you're in the military, you have purpose. People are giving you your purpose and you're out doing that thing. And then when you make it back, all of a sudden that's stripped away from you. And you're just grasping at the next thing, trying to find purpose in something. So I think that's also part of the phenomenon. You saw this is you have a ton of people who went to war. And you had women who found a way to be stable, to become the breadwinners in their home because they had to. And then all of a sudden, these men are coming back from the war, looking for purpose, grasping at everything. And the women of the home are going, no, we need stability. So you had a bunch of Mr. Toads running around, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Which gets to the other thing, to less serious. But even past that, if you're talking to kids, kids are very much get into fads, right? You know, this band's popular on TikTok this week and then another band's next week, you know, whatever. Or, you know, they have their phases they go through, goth phase, whatever phase. I don't know. I don't know what kids do, man. But that's definitely a thing, right? I remember what's funny is the one thing I remember my parents telling me was a fad. I had two, actually, that I remember being called, was told a fad. One of them was the, why can't I think of them now? They were like Beanie Babies, but they weren't. With the crazy hair.
Oh, I can see them right now. I know exactly. Yeah,
there's some kind of collective. Like, and it turns out that was a fad. I don't even remember what it was. But the other one was funny, is I was told that I can't spend any more money on Pokemon cards and stuff because that's just a fad. I'm still playing Pokemon, so that wasn't a fad, it turns out.
Take that, Mom and Dad.
Yeah. But it makes me think of the fads, Mr. Toad's lifestyle, Motor Mania, made me think of the verse in Ephesians 4:14. Where it, you know, says it's talking about people not knowing the Bible and how they'll go with any doctrine because they don't know the scripture. So anything that's told them, like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. They go to the next thing. They go to the next thing, whatever. And he says, you know, you got to know scripture so that you're not blown to and fro like the wind. I think that that kind of applies here, not necessarily just scripture and doctrine, but in general, we'll talk to Motor Mania because why not? If you take your time and really think out your decisions, you're not just stealing a car. You're not just going to buy the next thing. You're going to do the most logical thing. If you don't just do the first thing that pops in your head. And that's where it's important to be well studied before you just buy things.
Especially as a child, you're always pressured to always be with everyone else. What's new? What's going on? I remember back in the day, I was always upset when I didn't like the current music. Like, you know, your Backstreet Boys, your Britney Spears, and like everyone else was, you're like, I just didn't appreciate it the way they did. Mm-hmm. And that was some ostracization, not like, you know, bullying or anything like that. But it's like, I wouldn't be included in those conversations. And no one likes to be part, you know, out of those conversations. You want to be part of the group. I mean, you brought up the great sage, Paul. I'll bring up the great sage, Grandpa Simpson, when he says, I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now, what I'm with isn't it anymore, and what's it seems weird and scary. It'll happen to you. And those are very wise words.
Yeah, those are some wise words.
Because that's exactly what's going to happen to anyone. You know, it doesn't matter your age. You know, people are people. We're always going to want to fit in. You know, whatever is going on right now, it's going to change.
I have a very relevant example, like current TikTok. I keep getting tempted to try TikTok because, you know, my wife's on TikTok. A bunch of people I know are on TikTok, and I'm going to give reasons why I don't want to be involved on TikTok, and just don't take that as me condemning you. I think it's a personal choice. Just, you know, do your own research and make decisions. That's kind of what we're getting at here, right? Just like with doctrines. I'm okay with people disagreeing with me about what I believe in the Bible. Just study it for yourself and make firm decisions. So with TikTok, I don't get into it because I know how much the Chinese government's involved. I don't want them on my phone. Do I think TikTok sounds like a lot of fun? Yeah. Do I get jealous when everybody else is doing watching these videos and having yeah, of course I do. I also think that my own principle is, hey, let's not give the Chinese government my information. So that's something that I stand by. I don't judge people who don't stand by that. If you don't care, then hey, you don't care, whatever. But because I already made that decision, that's something that I'm going to stand firm on so that I'm not blown to and fro. Yeah.
That's a great way to put it. I mean, it's something current that's happening right now. I mean, there were plenty of people back in the day who weren't into what I was. And it's not their fault. And it's not your fault if you don't like what's going on right now. I mean, I'm not involved with TikTok in any way, shape, or form. I feel very similarly. I mean, there's no such thing as ethical consumerism right now. And there's really no such thing as, you know, not having someone tapped into what you are and who you are. But, you know, the less things I have around me, the less I'm going to be affected by any of that. So, and I'm not saying that anyone who has TikTok right now, you're part of the problem. That is not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's just, honestly, I personally cannot get into it.
Yeah. You have to draw your line somewhere, right? Like, in an ideal world where I have plenty of money, I'm buying cage-free chicken, you know, eggs that were from free-roaming everything, you know, all of that stuff. Like, I'm doing all that stuff. In real world, I can't afford to do that. So I make the decisions that I can for some of that. But it's kind of an arbitrary line. So I don't judge people who drew their line somewhere else, you know, and I hope that they don't judge me for drawing my line somewhere else. Same thing with this, you know, Facebook's getting my information too, but I have Facebook. I drew my line wherever I thought made the most sense for me.
Well, it's like, I mean, Nestle right now, very big in the news for their trying to gain water rights and owning that and child slavery that is making the chocolate that they use. So I personally have done my very best to try and remove as much as Nestle in my life as possible. It is very hard because if you look into it, Nestle owns a lot of different companies.
Yes.
But I'm not going to look at someone who has, you know, a candy bar in their hands from Nestle and then say, look, you're part of the problem, you know, because that's me personally. I have to come to that point. I'm not comfortable with this. I can't support it. And if I eat a candy bar someone offers me, am I a hypocrite? Depends on who you're asking.
Yeah. And that's why it's important, though, to think through these things for yourself and make your decision. If you've made your decision now, before someone hands you that candy bar, that, hey, if someone hands me a candy bar, I think I'm okay with eating it since I didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
Then I don't think you're a hypocrite because you made the decision ahead of time. And I think that's why those things are important. We both either have or are getting Hogwarts Legacy. I know, I assume you know, that J.K. Rowling does get some money from each cell. Part of me has a problem with that because of the hate speech that she's doing on Twitter towards transsexuals. Part of what made me feel a lot more comfortable, and I actually didn't buy the game till after this. I was not really on the edge. I was pretty sure I was going to get it anyway. So, but it did make me feel better. The game actually includes a character, and it's not like a main character or anything, but there is a character who is a woman who says, oh yeah, they still think I'm a warlock or something like that. So, and even that's kind of, you know, you get into weird, iffy waters when you're talking to other Christians and stuff. But for me, it's important that they, in some way, meaningfully combated the hate speech of J.K. Rowling, even though she's still getting money from it.
And we've already talked about that on our What's New episode. So,
yeah,
I don't think there's anything I can add that I haven't said before.
Yeah. The other thing is, to me, I think everybody has a right to their own opinions. Anyway, we did not mean to get stuck on this part of Mr. Toad.
We just went full Joshua.
Yeah. For the past we did. So if you had to rate, if you had to rate as a whole, this film of two mini stories, 0 to 10, where would you put it?
I'll go with the parts. I'll give Ichabod an 8. Mm-hmm. I'll give Toad a 7.5. So I guess that averages to a 7.5.
Sure.
I wasn't a math major either.
I am going to, it's tough. If I was doing them separately, Mr. Toad would probably be a 7, and Ichabod would probably be like a 6, 6.5.
Okay.
I guess as a whole, I'll give it a 6.5. I do like it slightly better than Three Caballeros. I gave it a 6 out of 10 because, you know, I like them both better than the average movie. To me, average is going to be 5 because that's just what makes sense to me on my scale. I think I like this movie a little bit better than Three Caballeros, but I don't like any of the characters anywhere near as much as the characters of Three Caballeros. That's where it's like, I don't want to put it too much higher than that because none of these guys really, really measure up to Donald and Aunt Kida, or none of them measure up to Jose. Just point blank. Jose is the best. No, not really, but he's up there. Cool. So we've already talked some about this stuff, but as we're thinking deeper about the stories and stuff, and we're talking about not getting blown here or there, we're talking about the possibility that Ichabod was experienced delusion or anxiety, OCD. We're looking at Mr. Toad as some motor mania. Maybe that's a symbolism for addiction, you know, whatever. First thing is, how do we guard ourselves from, you know, our whims, anxieties, delusions, all that?
We need to recognize we have them first. I mean, we can go our entire lives completely blissfully unaware of these issues we have until someone points them out to us or we realize it ourselves. And the dangerous thing would be to just ignore them. And I'm very guilty of doing that before.
Yeah.
So we need to, number one, recognize that we're having this as an issue. And then two, doing something about it, whether that be I need to focus my mind elsewhere, or I need to talk to someone about this, or I just need to get rid of whatever this thing is.
And plug yourself into a good community. And I'm also going to make this a challenge to churches to be a good community for this. Too often, you know, church people have been dismissive of anxiety or ADHD, and we've not handled a lot of the mental health problems very well. You know, you just have to have more faith and you wouldn't feel anxiety. Well, anxiety and fear are two different things, first off. Second off, that's just not necessarily the solution. There's stuff going on in the body that needs healing. And yes, we can lay hands and pray for bodily healing. And sometimes it may happen. Sometimes it may not happen. And I think we have to be a good community, like what Mr. Toad was surrounded by, of people who are trying to do our best to help. Maybe locking someone in a room and cutting them off cold turkey isn't the best way to help them. But they were trying to help him. They weren't saying, oh, you're a bad person because of this, and we're going to lock you in jail. They were saying, you're still a good person. How do we help you with this thing that definitely exists?
And quit telling me that my anxiety is irrational. I know it's irrational. The point is that I can't stop thinking about it, even though I know it's irrational.
There's no way Ichabod, being the schoolmaster, had no idea that his superstitions were irrational. He knew. In fact, when he saw the things that were like beating the log that he thought was the hoof sounds, he started laughing because he knows it's illogical. He was laughing at himself. Of course, then it turned around that there was a horseman, whether real or not, who knows? But yeah. So the next question then, if we are Toad's friends, assuming locking him in the room isn't the best way to help, how do we help people who are suffering from, you know, mental disorder, anxiety, you know, any mental health issue, really?
Checking in on them in a way that doesn't baby them. It'd be like, oh, you take your meds today? You doing okay today? It's like, no, like, hey. Like,
yeah, don't say that, please.
Yeah. How are you doing today? Was there anything difficult you had to go through? Like, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what you want to talk about. You know, if there's something you don't want to, we don't need to discuss that.
Yeah. And here's another don't. And this is something that's hard for a lot of people. And I take this challenge very personally. Do your best to not use, and I lay this across the board, and a lot of people will disagree with me, but this is my personal opinion. Just never say, I know what you're feeling. Whether it's mental health or not, you don't have the same body chemistry, brain chemistry that another person has. You don't have the same life story that another person has. So if me and Christian experience the exact same life event, even, I mean the exact same, I still don't know how he is feeling because I am not him. You know what I mean? And I tend to be very emotional about some things and not emotional at all about things that I should be. You know, I just speaking about me personally, I'm ADHD, and part of ADHD that a lot of people just don't know, because people don't know what ADHD is, you hyperfixate on things. So right now I am hyperfixated on Kingdom Hearts. And what that means is that when other things are going bad in my life right now that I should be upset about, I'm not going to feel much about them because I'm hyperfixated on this Kingdom Hearts thing. So just, I'm trying to come up with something ridiculous that I'm not like jinxing myself. I'm being superstitious right now, ironically. If for some reason my entire butterfly garden over here that I've worked really hard on just dies tomorrow, I might be completely unfazed. Then in 2 weeks, when I played all the Kingdom Hearts and finished them and have nothing else to do in Kingdom Hearts, I might be completely devastated. Because I'm hyperfixated on a thing that's done now. So now what do I do? And for someone like me, that's hard to handle. And what I'm trying to get at is you just don't know what other people are feeling. So the best thing you could do is ask people about how they're feeling. If you've gone through something similar, let's say my butterfly garden died, Christian can say something like, hey, I've had a garden before that I've worked on and, you know, had it not go well or whatever. Let's say he had the exact same thing. He's like, I've had that happen to me. Here is how I felt. How are you feeling right now?
And that's how you know I've been replaced by a doppelganger, because there's not a green thumb in my body.
But I just think it's important that we are more intentional about how we ask questions. And I know it seems like you're doing a lot of work. Why can't I just say, that's happened to me, I feel the same way? Because you don't. That's why. And just be intentional. Ask more questions. I think that's how we can better help those who are suffering. Not by locking them in a room or trying to do things for them, but asking more questions, maybe doing research for them. Say, hey, I heard that this is true of people with your condition. Have you ever felt this way? Stuff like that. Yeah. So as we do these things, Christian, and don't do these things, what do you think will change in the world around us?
Oh, the whole church spinoff. Okay. I mean, it definitely helps us to learn how to be more sympathetic to others. I mean, sometimes we can be empathetic. Sometimes we've gone through the same exact things. or very similar things. But it teaches us, especially I speak to myself, because naturally I'm not someone who understands other people. I think I've gone on the show and said this before, but I have had to learn over a very long time, and with a group of very patient people around me, that just because I think a certain way doesn't mean someone else is. And what is irrational to me is very rational to them. Mm-hmm. So just learn who these people are, learn what their tics are, learn what makes them happy, learn what makes them upset. You know, don't crack a joke around them if they don't like it. You know, there are plenty of people out there who don't appreciate your mama jokes as much as I love them. But oh, man. Some people have a bad history with their mom. Some people may have lost their mother. You don't know that. Mm-hmm. Just make sure what's acceptable and fun, not because you're censoring yourself, but because you're trying to be aware of that other person's needs.
Yeah. Paul can be a Jew to the Jews, a Gentile to the Gentiles. I'm certain that we can learn to be, you know, a nerd to the nerd, a sports guy to the sports guy, someone sensitive to your mama jokes to someone who's sensitive to your mama jokes. You know, we can learn to do that. It's possible. And this will be my last note before I go to less serious things and wrap this thing up. But also, to those of you who are suffering from motor mania or have an irrational fear that a headless horseman's chasing you or whatever your thing might be, this is cheesy, overdone, oversaid, and I still feel like it needs to be said again. Stay in your Bibles and know that God loves you. He died for you. He cares about you personally. And also, he's given you a community of people called the church. Part of that church is right here, Systematic Ecology. You can go to the Facebook, go to Discord, reach out to us. We are there for you. There's also local places you can go to that are called churches. Reach out. Know you're not alone. Know that there are communities of people who care and that God cares. The creator of the universe cares for you. Okay. Do you have anything else you wanted to add before I go to silly nonsense?
I think you said it perfectly right there. So I'm golden.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, it really is the perfect transition to talk about all the places that Mr. Toad and Ichabod are found in Disney parks throughout the world.
Seamless transition.
Yes. Yes. Nothing wrong with that at all. So there's a ride, Mr. Toad's Wild Adventure. It used to be in a few different Disney parks. It used to be in Disney World, Disneyland in California, and Disneyland in Paris, I think. And now it's only in Disneyland. It's the only one that's left. The one at Disney World was replaced with the Winnie the Pooh ride, which, fun fact, if you are in Disney World in Florida, you can still find Mr. Toad in exactly two places, one of which is in the Winnie the Pooh ride. When you go through Al's treehouse, there is a picture of Al with his wing around Mr. Toad in one of his photo frames.
It is very sweet. It's a fun laid-back ride. Go out when you're in Disney at Magic Kingdom.
And just ride it specifically to look for Mr. Toad. Then, the other one that's kind of morbid. And, you know, Disney likes to do this. Disney likes to be morbid for some reason. When they took that ride down, the Mr. Toad's Wild Adventure, they took it out of the Florida park. They put a statue of Mr. Toad in the pet cemetery at the Haunted Mansion ride. So you can go and find Mr. Toad there.
Oh, what a creepy little Disney Easter egg. I love it.
God, it's hilarious. There's also in Magic Kingdom, Disney World's Liberty Square has Sleepy Hollow refreshments. So there's just a little refreshment place. It has Sleeping Hollow. Sometimes you'll find pictures. The closer you get to Halloween, you'll see pictures of the Headless Horseman and stuff there. So that's always cool. Another restaurant, Toad Hall from the movie, exists in Disneyland Paris as a restaurant. So you can go into Toad Hall and get food. Fort Wilderness has a bunch of Halloween events, usually featuring the Headless Horseman. Sometimes you can take pictures with him. That's always cool. The Halloween Parade in Disney World. I love this. You can get a really cool picture of the Headless Horseman leading the Halloween Parade going down Main Street, USA. And it is awesome. You can look up that picture and you should. It's awesome. And of course, outside of the parks, there's another place you can find Mr. Toad characters, and that is in the film Mickey's Christmas Carol. So when they're all gathering around the tree and stuff at the end, you see Mr. Toad and some of the other characters from that movie. So it's a good time.
I believe Rat and Mole are also talking to Scrooge in an earlier part of the film, asking for Christian charity, which is mentioned in the film. And I believe, as I was doing my research, one of the only times Christianity is explicitly mentioned outside of like Hunchback of Notre Dame in Disney films.
That's actually really interesting, because in the book, they are Christian characters. In The Wind and the Willow, because they sing a Christian hymn at some point, and then at another point, they stop and pray, and they stop to worship because of something they found in nature. So That's really interesting, which is funny because it's not like overtly Christian book. I mean, Mr. Yeah. Toad steals a car and goes to jail and breaks out, but there are Christian characters. So I think it's interesting that they had those characters asking for Christian charity in Christmas Carol. That's really cool. Man. All right. Did you have anything else about Mr. Toad or Ichabod or any of this crazy adventure that we just had discussing? Oh, the film that was almost called Two Fabulous Characters.
No, I don't believe I do. This was a fun ride.
Yeah. Do you agree that these are two fabulous characters?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. They're great. I love even though I don't, I actually like, I'm like, you know what? These just aren't my favorite characters. They're very flawed characters, but I think I love that about them. So.
Yeah. They're not entering my top 10 anytime soon, but you know what? They're good for what they are.
Yeah. We agree that they have achieved the rank of fabulous. That's the important thing. If you would like to achieve the rank of fabulous for us, become a patron on Systematic Geekology at patreon.com/systematicgeekology. And with that, we're going to jump right into our wrap up and act like that wasn't a weird, cheesy plug-in. And Christian, do you have any recommendations for our listeners today?
Let's see. Recently, I got into a show that I did not get into when it was airing for the first time on Cartoon Network. And that is Cardcaptor Sakura, which is a magical girl show. For those of you in the vein of Sailor Moon, stuff like that. It has been one of the most genuinely fun and like honest series I've watched in a long time. I'm about 40 or so episodes in. It's like I said, it's just so genuine to have those characters who just, they embody themselves in the world. And I highly recommend it.
I'm going to cheat and give a recommendation that I've given before. But I like to go back to this every now and then because I think it's important. This is a more serious recommendation, which is weird for me, but a friend of mine, Justin Vaughn, writes a book, Room at the Table. And just like I thought these were two really good stories to provide frameworks for children to think about some deeper things when it comes to our own psyches, his book is written for older elementary age and does a really good job at providing a framework for kids to understand better the foster system. You know, the fact that kids aren't permanently separated from their parents. Sometimes the goal actually is to get the kids back with their parents. And what does it look like for someone who's never been a part of the family to suddenly end up at a new family if they've been to three other foster houses? You know, and it does a really good job of exploring that and providing a framework for people to talk about something that can be really beautiful. And I think the way it's presented in this story is that it was really beautiful this time and isn't always that way. So, great book. Check it out, especially if you have children or you just want to understand the foster system better. I thought it was a fun read as an adult. So, yeah. And with that, guys, you can go to systematicgeekology.org. You can hit, there's a drop down menu that says host. You'll see my name, Christian name. All the episodes we're on are there, as well as more links to patreon.com/systematicgeekology. And coming up soon, we're going to be doing kind of a teaser from our Patreon episodes. We do one series called our Versus series where we just talk about which character we like better out of two, and we have some people who argue about it. And this time we're going to be arguing MCU's Namor versus DCEU's Aquaman. So that'll be a fun one. Be looking for that. And of course, let us know if you have any recommendations for stuff us to geek out on, or if you want to know what we've been geeking out on recently, go to the website in the description. You can just let us know. And of course, remember, we're all a chosen people, the geekdom of priests.
This was an Anna's Isle Ministries podcast. If you enjoyed this show and would like to learn more about our network, be sure to check out the Anna's Isle Ministries podcast network.